Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Midnight, straight up here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
It's hard. It's going to be even harder during the Knicks.
And everybody can be a part of that because I will be on the air tomorrow, actually today, as we have now crossed over into midnight. It is June 3rd, 27 long years we have waited as Knicks fans for this day. A day that we can wake up, for most of you, either you're going to bed right now, you'll wake up later, or you're waking up right now, and you are waking up to a day that involves a Knicks finals game. The Knicks playing in the finals for the first time in 27 years. And yours truly will be on the air tomorrow. In all likelihood, late third, early fourth quarter. Depends on the length of the Yankee game. They played a long game tonight. You got Gerrit Cole on the mound coming up later. So the way he's been pitching, the game might be fast. We'll see. But no matter what, you're going to have me on the air doing the... Ooh, ah, yeah, ah, 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 ah. Maybe not that high pitch, but... Ah, ah. Those are some of the things you might hear during the Lugauer, we'll call it, a watch party. And I'll do my best to talk sports while that game is going on. My very best. Look, this is something, just full disclosure and full transparency. When I got this job and I got these hours, the first thing I said, either to myself or Evan, or I forgot, Sean, Tiki, all those guys, and then obviously in my own brain, where I have many conversations all day with myself, and I always agree with myself, so the conversations go well. The first thing that came to my mind was, boy, Knicks playoffs. And I say that because obviously Knicks playoffs is the first thing on the calendar, and then you have October baseball with the Mets, and then luckily with the football, it's more of a weekend thing. But it was the first thing that came to my mind. Knicks playoff games, I'm going to be on the air, which is great to be on the air after them, but during them, you got to try your best to focus, which I will do. I promised everybody out there, because you might be driving home from the Yankee game and you're kind of listening to me, perhaps, for what's going on in the game. And I can't do play-by-play, but you will get my honest, raw emotions and reactions to what's going on the television screen. And then as soon as it's over, you will get full breakdown, all your calls, hours here on After Hours, celebrating what I think is going to be a Knick win. I think the Knicks win this series in five. I think the inexperience of the Spurs is going to come back to really bite them in this series. The way they were celebrating San Antonio was, the Spurs were on Saturday, the tears coming from Wemby's eyes. This is a young group. This is a team that their core players, really the stars, the pillars, starting with Wemby, Castle, Harper. All these dudes are 23 years old and younger. They are ahead of schedule. The Spurs are not supposed to be here. And when you consider what they just did to OKC, battling back from 3-2, winning a game 7 in Oklahoma City, a tough place to play, and now, only a few short days later, they have to, as a very young team, in their building, transition, not physically, because they have tons of talent and athleticism, but mentally, which is the most important thing here. Mentally, they have to come down from that high, which they were clearly emotional, and it meant a lot to them as they planted their flag as the team in the Western Conference. The road over the next 10 years goes through San Antonio, if you want to get to the finals, against a team they're going to see a lot in the Western Conference finals for years to come. They have to come down from that high and refocus on the Knicks, a team that has been a buzzsaw for the last 11 playoff games, as they've been steamrolling, boat racing their opponents. The Knicks have more experience. They're going to be laser focused. This is business for them. This is a situation where the Knicks go into this series, I have to imagine, where it's do or die. Losing is not an option. This, in all likelihood, this is the mentality you have to have. This, in all likelihood, is their best crack at this. You're getting the Spurs at the absolute perfect time, a young team that I don't think is ready to win it all. They're not ready to win a championship. They'll win championships, I think, San Antonio, but not yet. Not this year. So you're catching a team that's going to be a dynasty at the perfect time. You're also fully healthy. I expect Mitchell Robinson. I know he's questionable, but it's a broken pinky. He'll be out there. I expect him to play this series. So the Knicks are fully healthy. They are connected on a level that we've never seen from this group or really any group in the history of the Knicks to have this kind of dominating performance and this dominating of a run in the playoffs. They have been great defensively, not just over these last 11 games, but for months now. Offensively, they are on a roll. They are just dominating their opponents in historical fashion. The type of stuff that you see from, or we have seen, from the Warrior teams that won a bunch of championships, or the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. And that's why the Knicks have been afforded all this rest, which I think is also a factor. They're very well rested. The Spurs just played a tough seven-game series. We saw that with Cleveland. Cleveland went back-to-back seven-game series. Now, I know they're heartless, gutless, spineless, soft losers, sports losers, the Cavs are. Still, they had nothing left in the tank after they blew game one. And they let go of the rope, they quit, and the Knicks took full advantage of that. I don't see a situation where the Knicks come back from 22 points down in game one, although I'm here for it. I'd rather them win by 22 the entire game, and it's a feed-up situation, especially considering I'm on the air here trying to focus tomorrow or later today. But I do think the Knicks are going to have a similar type of effect on the Spurs as they've had on other teams where they're going to wear them down mentally. It's a young team that's going to be highly emotional. I don't think they're ready for the bright lights and the big stage of the NBA Finals. And I think the Knicks come in as an experienced team, a connected team, a team that has been through the sports wars. You have Mikal Bridges playing his best basketball of his Knicks career. You have Karl Anthony Towns perhaps playing the best basketball of his career. You have Jalen Brunson, who is Captain Clutch. He is just, this is legacy series, legacy moment. I think Jalen is the best player in this series. Now, throughout their career, Wemby, in all likelihood, will be better just based on the fact that he is tremendous on both ends of the floor and he's 20 feet tall. In all likelihood, he'll have the better career. But right now, I would take Jalen. With the experience, with the way he could just cook dudes out there. You know, Wemby has bad games. He takes nights off. I don't think he's doing it on purpose, but he just has bad offensive performances where he doesn't look like a generational talent or the next future of the league, the face of the league. Jalen doesn't take nights off, and he's certainly not going to take nights off in this moment, which he has waited his entire life for, he's waited his entire career for, and we as Knicks fans, generations of Knicks fans, have waited our entire life for, some of us, for this moment. The Knicks know what's at stake, and I think in the back of their mind, the Spurs, hey, if things get rough, if things get tough, if the Knicks are enforcing their will on us, hey, we had a great year. We got to the finals. We knocked off OKC. We have this enormous window. All our stars are not just young, super young. Too young to be in this spot. We're ahead of schedule. In the back of their mind, they just might let go of the rope and say, you know what? We'll get him next year. We'll get him the year after. We'll get him for the next 10 years. This isn't our moment. This is the Knicks' moment. They wanted it more. The city wanted it more. That's really what it boils down to. Our city, that team that wears the Knick uniform that we all love, we collectively all just want it more. The Spurs have won a million championships. They're probably going to win a million more with this group. But for this moment in time, as the stars have aligned, the Hollywood script, 27 years later, the same matchup.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That was Spurs in five. Now you get Knicks in five. Which is also why I kind of went with the five as well. As Rosenberg said, well, why do you pick a sweep? Because I like the idea of five then, five now. Perfect. I love the symmetry. I love the revenge. I love the payback. Because even though the names on the back of the jersey have changed, the name on the front of it has not. It still says Spurs. So I still see the team that delivered heartbreak to all of us. And I know Patrick wasn't healthy. It doesn't matter. When you they haven't done anything since, basically, until Brunson and company showed up. So losing in the finals stings. I don't care if you're a massive underdog, if you're a massive favorite. When you get to this round, when you get to the championship, when you are four wins away from a chip, from a title, from immortality, from legendary status, and you don't win, it sits with you forever. Especially when you go through the basketball that we have all gone through leading up to this era of Knicks basketball. You get Mike Breen on the call. What's better than this? That's a rhetorical question. I mean, this is really as good as it gets. When you consider how long it's been. And I think that plays a major factor in not only the anticipation, but also the idea. And look, I know some people don't like when I talk parade, but I'm going to talk parade because I'm envisioning the parade. It's all I can think about, basically, as I've been trying to plot out when it might be, or if they win in five, it'll be here. If I'm right, it'll be in this state. And that's all I could think about is the party and the celebration, because we have certainly earned it, and we all love this team. This is a team that we have all rallied around for years as a likable group and a group that we want to see get across that finish line. And if they could do it in historical dominating fashion, as I envision here, in blowout type fashion, not only in the series ending in five, but some of these games and some of these wins I think are going to be lopsided in the Knicks' favor, boy, that is the cherry on top. That is a group that not only we will remember forever here in New York, but a team that will be remembered forever by all sports fans. And I do, like, in my, just, I just know that, forget, you know, obviously the anticipation is there, but the, and we know the ticket prices, the ratings, the viewership, the intrigue for this finals is going to be, I think, the biggest we've ever seen. And that includes Warriors, that whatever they were, a 70-win-plus team playing LeBron in the finals. This is New York City. This is the biggest fan base. This is the biggest market. This is 50-plus years drought not winning a title. This is 27 years not in the finals. So there's going to be a lot of, not forget here, just around the world, there's going to be intrigue to watch the Knicks, whether you love them and you love this group, but you hate the fans. You hate people like me. You hate people like Craig. You hate people like Giannotti. You hate people that are kind of come on the radio, Al Cintron, and be loudmouths about it and cocky and confident. Well, that's part of, and all the celebrations outside the Garden and all the celebrities that root for the Knicks. I understand why the coalition exists. I get hating the fans, but you can't hate this team. They're a likable team, even if you hate the Knicks, even if you hate the fans. But love them or hate them, you're going to be watching. And then on the other side, you have a brand with the Spurs, and you have Wemby, who is a massive draw. It's a player that we have never seen before as far as his skill set, as far as his physical traits, the combination of it. You know, I grew up players that were Wemby size. It was a Manute Bol and George Mureson and Sean Bradley. Even more recently, like Taco Fall. Well, those guys, can no disrespect, but they couldn't play. They weren't any good. NBA level good. Obviously, to get to the league, not just your height, they have to have some type of skill set. But once they got to the league, it was clear they weren't. You know, Wemby, who can hit threes, block shots, and he's 20 feet tall. And I do believe he will one day, and one day soon, very soon, be the face of this league. Just not yet. This is Jalen Brunson's time. This is the Knicks' time. This is Mike Brown's time. This is our time, not the Spurs' time. They've had their time. They will have their time, but this is ours. And they can't take it from us again. That's my mentality going into this series. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Al in Manhattan here on After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer here on The Fan. What's happening, Al?
Lug evening, sir. How are you?
Great. Hopefully you had a very pleasant Lug evening, Al. It's good to talk to you.
Yep. NBA Finals Eve or day now. Let's go.
Yep, it was the eve. I got to remind myself, it was the eve 13 minutes ago. That was Tommy in the past. Now Tommy in the present is the day of the NBA Finals. And then Tommy in the future will be watching the game and then hosting after the game and kind of probably during it, during the fourth quarter. So hope to hear from everybody tomorrow night as we react to game one of the NBA Finals.
Exactly. And so when the Mitch news dropped, you know, I was hopeful, but, you know, somewhere between, like, no biggie and biggie, you know?
Yeah, I think so I was on the air when it happened, and the thing that kind of threw me off right away was the no timetable. But once I had about 30, 40 seconds to process the whole thing, I immediately went to a no biggie, Al, and for various reasons, and in no particular order. It's a pinky. It's not a quad. It's not a hammy. It's not a back. It's not something that's debilitating. It's a guy that doesn't shoot, and even when he does shoot from the free throw line, he's bad anyway. Perhaps this helps that. He's defense. He's rebounding. He's lob dunks. So when you consider the injury, you consider what his skill set is on a basketball court, and finally, and probably most important, but certainly not least important, it's the NBA Finals. He's the longest tenured Knick. He's going to get his ass on the court. We know that. He's going to want to be out there, and he will be out there. I think the Knicks, Al, are just playing cat and mouse games by saying it's questionable. We don't know. He's playing. He's playing. He'll be in the lineup. He'll be playing later on tonight.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, did I think on the eve of the NBA Finals I'd be watching a video of Mitch Robinson, you know, going through a metal detector? You know, probably not, but, you know, hey, you know, there I was. And so, you know, I think, you know, it's no biggie. And, you know, I think I agree, too. Like, as much as the hype train is focused on Wemby, you know, he's not necessarily as consistent, you know, as that hype might have you think right now. And so,
yeah,
you know, fingers crossed.
Yeah, look, the hype train is obvious. Look, Wemby is, from a national standpoint and the gatekeepers in the national media, they have anointed, and understandably so, Wemby as the face of this league, or future face of this league. And I think everybody figured it would be a year or 2 years from now. It was still OKC's run here, maybe Boston, and they don't want to pay attention. They don't want the Knicks in the club. They don't want to open the gate up and allow guys like Brunson and Towns and Mike Brown and the Knicks and certainly the fans, because, you know, we're all running in there. And now that the Spurs are ahead of schedule, they want to anoint Wemby that guy. And I just don't think he's ready. I don't think the Spurs team is ready for what they're about to see. Credit to them for getting to the finals. They're not getting a banged-up OKC team. They're not getting a Knick team that's going to be fearful, which OKC was in Game 7, specifically Chet Holmgren. SGA was absolutely out of gas in Game 7. They didn't, they being the Thunder, take advantage of Wemby being in foul trouble. One more foul and he would have fouled out 5 minutes left in the game. And the Thunder did nothing about it because they were out of gas, or they had guys like Holmgren on the bench because he was scared, you know whatless, of Wemby. Mitch won't be scared. Cat won't be scared. Hart won't be scared. OG won't be scared. And OG is going to play a major role in this series. I think he's matched up very well against Wemby in his career. Ananobi, I mean, I think he's as close as to Kawhi Leonard as you're going to get in the league. Prime Kawhi Leonard, not Kawhi Leonard that plays, you know, 12 games a year. OG's going to be able to lock him up. I think he's going to be able to mentally break him. And I think Ananobi's going to have a ridiculous series because he's going to play a big role in stopping Wemby, getting Wemby frustrated when he has the ball, and then when Wemby's on defense, it's about getting him in foul trouble and getting him away from the basket. Because when he's on the bench, I don't think that the Spurs have any type of shot-blocking influence that's going to scare you. Luke Kornet's not going to keep you up at night. And when Wemby's away from the basket, you don't have him as a shot blocker underneath and in the paint. And that's where Josh Hart, who I think will see a lot of Wemby, who's not afraid of anybody, he'll drive on Wemby. And look, he'll get it stuffed in his face a couple times, I'm sure. But that doesn't mean he's going to be timid. And you can't be timid in this series. You can't allow Wemby to be that presence where you're afraid of it, where he builds a fortress in the paint. I don't expect that from the Knicks, but especially the way they're moving the basketball. You can give me all the athleticism stuff with the Spurs, and they're playing great. The Knicks are so much on a roll and so connected and so in rhythm and in tune with each other. This is a well-oiled machine, something that is being built for years and years and years and years. And Mike Brown, credit to him, has done, like Mike Brown, yes, he took over a team that had a lot going for it. A lot. I mean, he's like a chef that, hey, I'm going to give you this great meal. It's not Michelin star or two Michelin stars meal type situation. But it's great. But we need you to come in here and just tinker with a few things, a little bit of this, a little bit of that ingredient, a little bit of that. And then we are anticipating, because that's why we hired you, to turn this into that type of meal. And that's exactly what Mike Brown has done. Little tinker here, little tinker there, little adjustment here, little adjustment there. And that's really throughout the year and then also in this playoffs. Because early on, it was a struggle. And I say early on, not the first three games, but it was. And he has done everything not only properly, but correct, but just he has been unbelievable, Mike Brown, in doing those things to, you know, running the offense through Cat at the top of the key. When they go to the hack of Mitch, he's been great at countering that. When Landry Shamet came into game one and he substituted Hart out of the game, that's something that the previous administration wouldn't have done, especially in a game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. That paid major dividends. And the offense, the way they're playing, the three-pointers, this is the type of thing you envision when Mike Brown took over. And he has done a phenomenal job. And he's just got a great personality. He's just a very likable guy. And that goes along with the theme of this team. It's not just us that, of course, love them, but really across the board in terms of people that can take their hatred for the franchise, which probably clouds them most of the time. And if they could take that away and put it to the side and be, as some on this radio station call it, an IBO, you can look at this team and say, man, a lot of gamers, a lot of guts, a lot of heart. Not just Josh, but the heart inside everybody, led by Jalen Brunson, who will will himself across the finish line here. I don't think the Spurs are ready to go to the places that the Knicks are about to take them. Let's head to Teddy in Yonkers here on The Fan on After Hours. What's up, Teddy? All right, Teddy is either, probably he's got a little something going on there. That sounded almost like a motorcycle. Two things that. That didn't sound like a motorcycle or maybe a lawnmower. So I don't know if Teddy's doing a little bit of a little landscaping around the house or he's got a little bit of a motorcycle going on. Either way, all good. I've said this before. You know, when I go to a call, I feel like I'm interrupting you. You know, I'm doing a radio show, so I'm here either way. But you as the caller, you're just sitting there. You're doing your business. You're doing your taxes. You take care of a little of this. You got to go to the bathroom, whatever you got. Maybe the missus wants a little bit of some action. You handle that. I don't know what the heck's going on. You could be on hold for a while. So whenever you're not there, that's on me, really, because I'm interrupting you. You're not interrupting me. We'll get back to Teddy hopefully at some point, maybe tomorrow. Let's hear from Don in Fort Lee, New Jersey. What's going on, Don?
Loogie, what's up, buddy? What's up, man? How you doing?
What's happening? I'm great.
So I'm a lifelong Knicks guy. I've been through it all. I've been through the Clyde days. I've been through the Bernard King days. You know, I've seen it all. I went to Villanova, graduated in 85, which was a championship. I love these kids from Villanova.
Yeah.
Jay Wright, you know, taught them the thing they take with them from Jay Wright's program, which all three guys will tell you, is attitude.
Mm.
Attitude, never give up.
Yep.
You know, you control what, only control what's in your control. Don't worry about what's out of your control. And it kind of transcends the team. Now, I saw Mitch Robinson in practice today. He looked okay to me. Did you see any of the footage?
I did. He looked good to go. And I know a lot of people were waiting for that footage. I saw it, but I didn't need it to reassure myself, because all along here, ever since this news broke, I thought that not only would Mitch play, but I don't think he will be affected by it. Painful, for sure, when he catches a lob dunk, it's going to hurt, but I don't think Mitchell Robinson is going to be affected, meaning his performance, by this pinky injury.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, with his game, at least. And
yeah,
your monologue and the way that the points that you're hitting regarding the Knicks right now are tremendous, Loogie. I mean, you've been right on point with everything. Like, you're not missing. There's no rock unturned. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
There's no stone unturned.
Oh, listen, I feel it. I really can, because when I talk about this team, I know I take it with great pride, because I know how much it means to this city and how much this championship is going to mean and how long we've waited for it. So I know there's like a lot of great responsibility here. So I try to give my best with it. But yeah, I know this team. I love this team. I obviously eat, sleep, and breathe it. So I got them covered. And yeah, I mean, I'm not always right about them, but in this situation, I feel so confident, if not cocky, that they're going to take care of business and take care of business quickly.
Yeah, the way that I look at it too is, I look at it as the Knicks are probably average age is close to 30 for their main players.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this as men against boys. I mean, these guys are in their prime, and they're playing on all cylinders. Like, San Antonio has no idea what they're up against.
Nope. And they're, you know, and also, no. Not only the prime, but the more importantly, too, the experience that this group has had together. And guys like, you know, Mikal Bridges, who, and I say this because, yeah, Cornette's won a championship, Barnes has won a championship, but they're role players. You know, Mikal Bridges is a big key to this Knicks team. He's been to the finals. You know, Karl Anthony Towns has been to the Western Conference Finals, and now obviously multiple Eastern Conference Finals, the finals. So they have not only the chemistry and the continuity and the experience together, but they also have experience outside of New York in terms of the playoffs. These are waters that, you know, even De'Aaron Fox, all right, he made it around the one round with the Kings. This young core has not seen this type of stage, and they're going to face a team that has seen a ton of playoff games, and they have a ton of playoff games under their belt, and I think that's going to service the Knicks very well.
Right, and even the Villanova championships, you can't underestimate that because
Yeah, sometimes I don't take it like it's interesting because when it comes to winning championships in college, I don't think it always has a direct impact on you as an NBA player and you being able to win in the league or vice versa. But in this situation, Don, because it's a former teammates, and like you said, I mean, Jay Wright, who's one of the great college coaches, obviously at Hofstra and then at Villanova, these guys are just, they're winners. That's really what it comes down to. They're winners, they're gamers, they never give up. The toughness that they have and the toughness that they have together as one, as not only the Villanova connection, but now New York. Yeah, it's something that the Spurs can't match, and I don't think they know what's going to hit them.
Right, the chemistry is unbelievable between the three of them.
Yep, and now, and also too, Don, and I appreciate the call, not just the chemistry with them, but now everybody's involved with the chemistry. That was always kind of the biggest fear is it going to be Jalen just dribbling too much? Is it going to be a Villanova click and then it's just those guys? Now it's everybody. It's all one heartbeat. It's Jalen. It's Mikal. It's Josh. It's Kat. It's OG. It's Mitch. It's Shamit. It's Deuce. It's Clarkson. It's Alvarado. It's everybody. With Mike Brown as the maestro out there. You know, he didn't like that. You didn't call him maestro. I'm trying to figure out why he's keeping me out of Tuscany. But Mike Brown and his symphony here has been absolutely music to not only my ears, but the ears of all Knicks fans. And the waiting is over. We've had to sit here, you know, multiple times. This one being the toughest because this is something we've waited 27 years for. What's another 7, 8, 9 days? But still, it's you want to get going. And I think having another series to watch helped, but ever since Saturday night, it's like, okay, let's get to game one. Let's get to game one. Let's get there. And we're basically there. We have crossed over into the midnight hour. We are here. We have arrived. The wait is over. And I can't put into words the emotions that I'm going through, not only right now, but what I'm going to be feeling later on tonight as I will be experiencing this on the air, basically. You know, Yankee game, little post game, and then yours truly on the air, back end of the Knick game, and then full post game reaction, hours and hours of it, and your calls. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Obviously, the Knicks are a massive story. They're not the only story. If you're just tuning in, Aaron Judge, later today, we'll see a specialist. Originally, it was a shoulder bone bruise. Now they are calling it a rib bone bruise. Aaron Boone, after the game, said that Judge will, in fact, see a specialist later today. The Yankees want to rule out a few things. He is being called day-to-day, and then Aaron Boone said, quote, for now. Because obviously if they get not so great news from the specialist, you don't want to speculate, but I would imagine Judge would then go to the IL. If they do get great news, I don't expect them in the lineup. I think they're going to be very cautious. I think they give him this series off. And look, they're 3-9 now. The Yankees are against teams with 500 record or better. That's something that you don't want attached to you, especially when you are October bound and you're going to see teams that are 500 and better in October. So when you carry that type of record, it doesn't exactly give you the utmost confidence, certainly if you are a fan. And with Judge sidelined, it doesn't help in your effort to beat a team like Cleveland, who I don't think are very good. I certainly am not scared of them if I'm a Yankee fan. If I were one, I wouldn't be. Nor would I be afraid of any other team I'm going to see in the American League. The biggest enemy of the Yankees in October is the Yankees. But similar to the Knicks, and this is why I think you'd be as careful and cautious, not only with guys like Judge, who's your most valued and prized possession, guys like Stanton, guys like Fried, guys like Cole, anybody that has dealt with an injury or is dealing with an injury, you know, this season. Much like for the Knicks, it was getting to the finals and then taking your chances from there. For the Yankees, it's getting to the World Series. The American League is not good. The Yankees are the class, in my opinion, of the American League, especially with this pitching staff. Once it's fully healthy, once you get Fried back, Cole has been amazing. You'll see him later on tonight. Schlittler, okay. Breaking news, Cam Schlittler is human. For a second there, I wasn't sure. I thought he was a cyborg. I thought he was a machine. I'm like, this guy literally is never bad, ever. And he finally showed that he's human and that he's like every other pitcher and every other great pitcher and every other person that has ever picked up a baseball and has thrown it in the major leagues. He has his off nights, and that's what Schlittler gave you last night. But he has been the best pitcher in the American League. He's the odds-on favorite to win the Cy Young. I think he's going to win the Cy Young, especially with Scooble missing all the time that he has missed. So I expect him to bounce back, but you're going to head into October with Fried, with Schlittler, with Cole. That's as good as it gets. Nobody's going to be able to match you there. But the problem with the Yankees, and this is something that they're going to have to figure out, whether it's through trades or the light bulb is going to have to go off, hitting in October. That's it. That's the big thing. Because they have this starting pitching. They're going to fix the bullpen. It's about hitting in October. 888-808-10, much like the Knicks, as they've... And the same thing can happen with the Yankees. You get on a roll, you ride that wave, and you can ride it all the way to a championship. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. More of your Knicks calls for the next 90 minutes. Yankees, the Mets, it just went final in Seattle. 8-3 Mariners, as the Mets have lost now two games in a row to start their final West Coast trip of the year. So if you want to get on board with the Mets as well, the number to join the conversation, 888-808-1019. It is After Hours. Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
12:37 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, here on After Hours, 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. We'll get to those calls in just 1 second. The Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. It's simple. We have arrived. Game one, NBA Finals, 27 years in the making. The rematch. Knicks, Spurs. A finals that I think will have the highest ratings, especially if it goes far. I don't think it'll go far, but if it does, like most people think. You know, all I keep hearing is a Knicks in six or Spurs in seven. I got Knicks in five. But the ratings for this series are going to be through the roof. Through the roof. You have the biggest market in the world, New York. You have a lot of haters out there that want to tune in, hoping, praying, wishing that the Knicks lose. You have history here, 50-plus years without a championship. So anytime you have that type of history on the line and that type of drought, it's going to attract eyeballs because people want to see if the Knicks can break the drought. You know, for years you had the Cubs, you had the Red Sox. I know it's not as many years as those teams, but when you consider this is New York City, this is the Knicks, the fact that they haven't won a championship in all these years, that's a huge deal. That's a huge story. And I think a lot of people are going to tune in to see what ends up happening. And then, of course, you have Wemby, who is at some point going to be a generational talent. I don't think he's ready to be that yet, but at some point he's going to be. He's going to be the face of the league, and he's already a huge draw. Obviously, because of his size, his athleticism, his abilities, his skill set. It's something that we've never seen in the league ever before, and we will likely never see it again. And the Spurs are a brand. They've won a lot of championships, and when you win championships, you attract a lot of people that are saying, I think I'll be a Spurs fan. Why not? So the anticipation, the viewership, the ratings, the ticket prices, of course, are all going to be through the roof. Now, speaking of ticket prices, I've talked about this for the last couple days. If you are a Knicks fan that would love to be at a game at Madison Square Garden, but financially it's just too much of a stretch. And I understand that. Thousands of dollars to get in the building is a lot of money. For some it's not, but for many it is. And that stinks, but it is what it is. It's New York City, it's Madison Square Garden, it's the NBA Finals. This is how this town is run. It's a major event. So prices are going to be high. But if you are one of those fans that said, hey, I'm priced out. I can't do it. I'd love to, but I can't. And I don't know anybody that's going to get me in, maybe on a little bit of a discount, a friendly discount. Or, hey, for free, what a friend you'd be if you did that. And no, that's not me trying to get Evan to take me to a game. Because I know Evan's got to sell these tickets. And I would literally feel guilty if he brought me. That's ridiculous. For thousands of dollars that the tickets are going for, that's insane. I've been saying, hey, it's not going to be cheap, but for less money than to walk into Madison Square Garden, you as a Knicks fan can book a flight to either San Antonio or somewhere in Texas, rent a car, drive down to San Antonio, get a hotel, go for a nice steak dinner, hit the town after the game, obviously tickets included. You're going to be spending money, a good amount of money, but less money than if you went to Madison Square Garden. And I heard from a fella a couple of nights ago. His name is Manisha. And he and his wife were on the line, and his wife was not looking to go with him, but he had an opportunity to go to the game, drive to San Antonio from Houston, in which he would fly to Houston, and then go to game one. But he wasn't sure. He needed my advice. And I said, hey, you should go. But I said, hey, you want to check in with me when you get there? Either way, if you do get there, if you don't get there, but let us know. Update us. Update the audience. So I'm happy to report that Manisha, calling from Rockland County, but perhaps Texas. I don't know what you ended up doing, but what is the situation currently? Did you end up going? Are you leaving in a couple hours? What is the update here?
Lou Gay, we just booked tickets a couple minutes ago, and we are super excited. Me and my brother-in-law and another one of his friends, we booked tickets. We're leaving from Newark tomorrow to Austin. I have no idea where that is, but
Austin is one of the great American cities. A lot of fun. If you had more time, I would tell you to stop there and enjoy yourself there. It's absolutely incredible, a scene, a lot of partying. Great, great city. But it's awesome. You're not going to get to see much of it, but if you did, it would be great. Now, what time are you flying out?
My flight is 1:59 p.m. We're arriving there at 4:58. If everything runs on time. And the crazy part is I would tell all Knicks fans to jump on it because...
And then you're driving? What's the drive from Austin to San Antonio?
I got no clue.
Well, hopefully it's a couple hours because you're going to be a little tight with game time.
I believe my brother-in-law had that figured out, but he did say we're getting there just in time for a game start.
Perfect.
So I'm sure we'll get there just in time.
Perfect.
We're going to take an Uber so we don't got to be busy with car parking.
You're saying you're gonna go to the hotel and then Uber from there for game time.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we're gonna go straight to the game and then go to hotel.
Gotcha.
After.
I gotcha. I see. Okay. Yeah. No. Look, game will probably start around 8:40. You said you land around what, 4 and change Texas time?
4. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, close to 5.
Well, you got a whole ass. I'll look it up how long it is. But like you said, your brother-in-law has it all figured out. I've been to Austin. I love the city, but I don't know where it is as far as geographically in terms of San Antonio and how long that drive's going to be. But that's awesome. That's going to be an experience that you guys are going to remember forever. I'm really glad that you guys ended up doing that. I'm excited for you. Now, If you can, I'd love to hear from you guys tomorrow after the game, because I'm going to be on until 2 a.m. I know it's going to be a crazy scene. You'll be probably having a great time after the game. But if you do have the opportunity and your phone has cell service and you're able to let us know how it went, I'd love to hear from you.
I definitely call you. And the tickets dropped a lot. So for any Knicks fans, I heard that. I don't know if it's true, but someone told me James Dolan officially, or the Knicks franchise, bought a bunch of tickets and wanted all the Knicks fans there, so they bought out a lot of tickets and now are selling it for very cheap last minute. So it dropped to $600. And
that's great.
It was like,
over 1,000. Like, it was over 1,000.
Exactly. Yesterday, with the same ticket, was $1,290. So it really dropped. So if any other fans are thinking of going, jump on it. It's going to be a fun time.
Absolutely, yeah. So I definitely want to hear from you, like I said, now that they're down to $600, which is, it's not cheap, but when you're talking thousands and thousands to get into Madison Square Garden, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and like you said, it was double that in San Antonio, and now it's down to $600. But you got to get on that, though. If you haven't done it, you got to get on it, like, immediately, because you got to book a flight, you got to book a rental car. The fact that you guys were able to put that together last minute is awesome. But I would say to those of you listening right now, if you have plans to do that, I would get on it immediately.
Yeah, the funny thing is I'm on the way home from a wedding now, and the last time I spoke to you was Sunday night, also on the way home from a wedding, with my wife in the car again. So it's pretty crazy schedule, but it's once in a lifetime, and hopefully the Knicks will make it again. But I got to be there, and I hope to make it to Game 6 if we have one.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Enjoy the trip, of course. I think the Knicks are going to win. I think they're going to give you a great experience. That's awesome. Now, I know the Spurs, or there was a report out there that if you are a season ticket holder and you were caught, you know, selling your tickets to Knicks fans, that the Spurs were going to, and this is all reports, that they were going to revoke your season tickets. They were going to penalize you, which I understand. Look, it's a great building, it's a great fan base, but the last thing they want is to turn that place into what Philly got turned into and what Cleveland got turned into and what Atlanta got turned into and what we've seen for years and years and years, and that's Knicks fans invading the building. Now, this is the finals. So it's going to be tough to keep Knicks fans out of that building. And like you just said, $600. $600 for a ticket. Flight to Austin, you could probably get for a few hundred. $300-$400, I would think. Maybe a smidge more, but not much. So that runs you to around 1,000. Hotel, you're there with a couple of guys, a couple hundred. Some drinks, some food. It's not terrible. And then I would stop back at Austin and I would go party on 6th Street. That's what I would do. That's me, though. That's not everybody's brand of vodka, but it's mine. Great city. And you should have a great time there. I can't speak to San Antonio. I've never been, but I've definitely been to Austin. And even though you're only pit stopping there, it is a cool place. And you're not going to be alone. That's the other great part of this. You're going to experience something. If you are on your way to San Antonio, listen to my voice right now at the airport, or if you are already there, perhaps, at your hotel, or you're driving to San Antonio from someplace in Texas, whether it's Austin, whether it's Houston, wherever, Dallas, you are about to experience something. Not only your team in the finals, but invading a building, being an opposing fan. That feeling of satisfaction when your team wins is something that I can't even put into words. You just have to experience it at some point in your life. And I've been fortunate enough to have experienced that. It is the best. It's even better than being in your home building. It truly is, because you feel bonded with those that have made the trek with you. Especially if it's a smaller percentage. It's one thing when the Knicks just take over Philly like they did in this last series, and then like that game 4, it was essentially Madison Square Garden. But when it's a smaller percentage, it's awesome. And what you feel, that bond with those that are there with you, it's something that you'll take for the rest of your life with you. That's how cool it is, and that's how gratifying and satisfying it is. And I know, hey, for some out there, even $600 and a flight and a hotel, that's more than you could afford. And if you are in that boat and you're not able to make it to the game, which is the majority to any of these games, there are still plenty of great things to do. Not only that you can host a party, you can go to a party, you can come to a watch party. And I got one coming up Friday. I don't want to give away the details just yet. We're ironing out them, I still believe. And once I have a live read in front of me, then I'll give you the whole breakdown of it. But I should be doing a watch party this Friday, as I've done a few now throughout this playoff run. And we've had people come out to see yours truly. It's been an awesome time. The bars in New York City are packed for these watch parties. The energy is through the roof. It's Knicks, Knicks, Knicks. It's a Friday night, so people don't have anywhere to be on Saturday. I expect a lot of partying, a lot of camaraderie and excitement in this city for this basketball team starting later tonight and then Friday night, because that is a weekend for most, and you'll be able to enjoy that out. And if you want to check it out, once I have all the details, I will pass that along as far as the watch party. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call as we await news on Aaron Judge. Probably by the time you wake up tomorrow, or I should say by the time I wake up tomorrow, we'll have news on Judge. He's going to see a specialist. He has a bone bruise that's been bothering him for weeks. It's in his rib area. Aaron Boone says he's day-to-day for now. Those are Aaron Boone's words, for now. Obviously waiting for news from the specialist. They want to rule some things out, the Yankees do. And then once they get a diagnosis or kind of what's happening with our most prized possession, our captain, Aaron Judge, then we will find out that. And I think the Yankees are going to be cautious either way. Even if they get great news, I think they're going to be cautious. You won't see Judge till the weekend, I would say bare minimum. Let's go to Sean in Old Bridge. What's happening, Sean?
What's up, Lukey? How are we doing tonight?
Great, great. Good to hear from you, Sean.
Good to hear from you, too. And I know last night that we talked about like the Nickelodeon game show.
Yeah, Double Dare and Nickelodeon, and I couldn't remember the show where they dropped slime on you, and you, along with the rest of my great audience, was able to let me know that it was, in fact, Double Dare. There was a couple other shows that utilized the slime, or the ooze, as I call it, as well, but Double Dare was definitely the show I was thinking about.
Okay, so I did try to tweet it out to you, like, best I could on Twitter, like, the best, like, as much as I can, like, the info.
Yeah, you did the research. You did the work. You did the homework, like you always do, Sean. You're a very loyal listener, and I appreciate that. And I did see the tweet, as I saw everybody's tweets about this show, because whenever you bring this type of stuff up, Sean, you know this. Everybody wants to tweet and call and tell me not only about Double Dare, but the show that Double Dare got it from, and all the different iterations of Double Dare. And I always appreciate that stuff, because that hits home. I mean, Nickelodeon, we all grew up on it, although I kind of didn't, because I didn't have cable till I was 13, which is sort of the start of that story. But I was aware of Double Dare. I watched it when I was at other people's houses that did have cable when I was younger.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I know, also remember, like, Nickelodeon's Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah, Legends of the Hidden Temple, Are You Afraid of the Dark, all of those. Are You Afraid of the Dark was a great show. I was afraid of it, but I scare easily. You know, I love horror movies, but I get afraid easily. My wife hates them, so I find myself now, Sean, at the point in my life where I just won't sit down and watch a horror movie anymore, because the person that I share a life with has no interest in it. So I end up just saying the heck with it, because I feel like you have to watch a horror movie with somebody. But Sean, your thoughts here now. Aaron Judge waiting on the specialist. Another loss against a team with a 500 record or better. You know, a little bit of a time where you're on pins and needles as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, that is very true. So pretty much want to treat my kid gloves most definitely. So like the thing is, this is like really, really concerning as like a big Yankee fan. If you're like a big fan of Aaron Judge.
Yep.
So particularly, you just want to, like, just, like, monitor. If you're Aaron Boone, say, like, if I was Aaron Boone, I would just want to, like, monitor it. Just, like, make sure, see how he's feeling, like, day-to-day.
Yeah, and I think that's why they're bringing in the specialists. They're doing their due diligence. They want to rule everything out. They're obviously keeping out of the lineup. And like I said before I took your call, Sean, mm-hmm. I don't think the Yankees are going to push this with Judge. Just like I don't think they're going to push things with Max Fried or with Stanton. They're going to be as careful as humanly possible. They know they're going to October, and they need those performers that I just mentioned at their best. So if this is something that's been bothering Judge for a while, even if they get great news, they still might IL him. They still might rest him, because it sounds like it's something that's been bothering him for a while. And look, the numbers for Aaron Judge this year, for mortals, they'd be great, but for him, they're a little down, but he is just held to such a high standard that he has set for himself as an MVP year in and year out. If this is something that's affecting him a little bit, then I say rest him, because it's all about October. It's all about getting your captain healthy.
Yeah, that is like super. That is very agreeable. And just, you don't want to like to rush like progress that quickly, because that's going to only do more work, make it more work.
Yeah, and it's not needed for it. It's not. And I appreciate the call, but it's not needed. There's no reason. If you want to sit there and tell me, hey, I'd like to see the Yankees flip that 3-9 against teams with a 500 record or better and turn it into 9-3. I want to see them beat teams like Cleveland, and Cleveland's not very good. I'm telling you right now. If the Yankees see Cleveland in October, they're going to steamroll them. There's nobody standing in their way other than themselves in October that I, for the first few months, things could certainly change. A team can come from out of nowhere, get hot, that all of a sudden I say, hey, you know what? That team could give the Yankees a little bit of problems. But through the first 2 months, as we're now into June of the baseball season, I don't see any team in the American League that is going to be a roadblock for the Yankees. A lot of parallels from them and the Knicks, where the Knicks, we said this before the season even started, hey, the path is there, the path is there, the path is there to get to the finals. Got to get to the finals. The East is down, there's injuries, you got to get there. Yankees, the path is there. The American League stinks. World Series is bare minimum. Bare minimum. Especially with a group where Aaron Judge, look, he's not getting any younger. He's 34 years old. Well, hopefully he has a 6, 7, 8 more years left. I don't know how many more years he wants to play baseball, but these are prime years for him, and you don't want to waste any more of them. So you definitely want to punch your ticket to the World Series, that's for sure. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's after hours. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie here in the late night. We got another hour to go. We will take your calls, of course, if you want to talk some Mets, as they lost another one, 2 in a row here to Seattle. They start off their West Coast trip now 0-2 as they have the third game of the series coming up with Seattle. That will be a later today. The big one, Knicks, Spurs, game 1, 8:40 or so will be the tip-off. Yankees, the Judge news, we'll wait on a specialist and see what he has to say later on today as well. So all those topics. And Malik Nabers, there was some stuff going around the internet, some speculation. We have some clarity on that from reporters that I will get to you in the final hour as well. 888-808-1019. It is Tommy Lugauer. It is Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.